There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
If you're wondering why I'm speaking French, it's because my guests on today's show are none other than Godzilla, all the way from France, and I'm going to be cooking up the heaviest chole bature in the universe for them to taste. We're going to start making our chole bature by heating some oil in a heavy bottom saucepan. Chole bature is one of my favorite Indian dishes. So we're going to start by frying up some whole garam masala in our oil, which is bay leaf, cardamoms, cinnamon sticks, and cloves. We're also going to add some jeera or cumin seeds to this. Now once these have started sizzling, we're also going to throw in one green chili. I'm not chopping it up because I don't like my food to be too spicy. But if you like your food spicy, then feel free to go crazy with the chilies. Next up, we add some ginger garlic paste. That's getting quite violent. We're gonna add in one full chopped onion. Now let the onions cook till they become translucent. Next, we add in two chopped tomatoes. Now it's very important to let the tomatoes cook and break down properly because you don't want pieces of tomato when you're eating your chole bature. Next, we add in some chili powder. Now if you don't like your food spicy, you can obviously not add chili powder. But this gives it a nice color and flavor as well. And I'm also going to add some chole masala. You can buy this at any supermarket. And this basically is like garam masala but with a tangy flavor to it. This has mango powder as well as pomegranate powder in it, so it gives your chole bature a nice tang. Oh, and that smells really good. So I have pre-cooked our chana in the pressure cooker for about 15 minutes. And if you see, it's got a lovely dark brown color which comes from a tea bag that I put in while cooking. And that's how most restaurants get that dark color to their chole. It's pre-cooked with a tea bag in it. And make sure you don't throw away any of the water. That's what's going to make our delicious gravy for the chole. Now you can see our mixture is cooking nicely. The tomatoes are breaking down. We're now going to add the water from our chole to it. We just let that cook now. And you can see the makings of a delicious, rich tomato and onion gravy. And a lot of Indian food is made from the basic onion and tomato gravy. We Indians love our kanda and tomato and our dhania or kotmir or coriander. You can see our gravy has a lovely, rich, dark brown color. We're just going to let this cook for a bit and get infused with all those delicious flavors. Now, if you're wondering what chana is basically the garbanzo bean or the chickpea. It's got many different names, but in India we call it chana. And this dish is chole. Now, the gravy looks about ready, and we're going to add in the chana to it. And mix it in really nicely and let it cook for a bit more. Remember, always taste your sauce. Now, even though I use salt when I boil the chickpeas or the chana, I still need to add a little bit more. So add a little salt more if you need it. And there you have it. Our chana masala is done. We're just going to finish it off with a handful of coriander. And it looks and smells delicious. So now that our chole or chana masala is ready, we need to whip up some delicious bhaturas to eat this with. So let's go and do that. So to make the bhaturas, we're going to start with about 2 cups of all-purpose flour or plain flour. And to this, we're going to add 1 spoon of baking soda and baking powder. And just mix that in nicely. To this, we add 1 cup of yogurt, plain yogurt. And add 1 spoon of sugar. And 1 spoon of salt. And we mix this together nicely. Now, once this starts coming together, you can continue mixing it with your hands. We Indians always use our hands. You can see the dough is coming together nicely. You have a lovely soft dough. And you need to really get the gluten working in this. Working that dough. Nice and soft dough. And after you've done that, take a little bit of oil, just apply it on the outside of the dough. Now that our dough is ready, we're just going to cover it with a wet cloth and leave it for about 1/2 hour to sit. So the dough has now been rested for about 30 minutes and we're going to make our bhaturas. So you break off a small piece of the dough and make sure it's nice and round, that there are no folds here. Yeah. And then we're just going to roll this out. You can put a little oil on your hands to make sure it doesn't stick. And on your rolling surface, now you can just spread out the dough with your hands, like such. And remember, it's quite elastic, so it will roll back a bit. So we're not going to make the bhaturas too huge like they do, but a decent size like this. I'm not very good at rolling bhaturas, as you can see. But nonetheless, the taste is all that matters. So wait for your oil to get nice and hot, and then put it in. Kids, try this at home. Making bhaturas is very, very difficult. I have learned the hard way. But if it doesn't rise, it's okay. as long as it tastes good. Make sure you have plenty of towels handy. We go into the hot oil. Yep, and that's how it, and there she rises. Yahoo! That's how the bhatura must rise. Delicious, golden brown and crispy. Wow, that looks awesome. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the heaviest chole bhature in the universe. And we're going to feed it to Gojira. Bon appetit. Kitchen. I've got none other than Joe from the French heavyweights Gojira with me here today, and as you can see, we're in a bit of an unusual setting because we're all the way in Bangalore at the Indian Metal Fest. How does it feel to be here, Joe?
Feels amazing. I feel honored and blessed to be finally in India for the first time of my life. It's a great day to me.
Yeah, and you've been here, I believe, for a day or so. Have you had any time to explore or form any, you know, impressions of the country?
Well, my first impression was very interesting. It was the traffic between the airport and the hotel. About 5 or 6 p.m., I'd never seen that before in my entire life. Such a organized mess. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it works, but it works. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's, I think, the thing. And what about the horn pressing?
Oh my God! It's mind-blowing, actually. Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Joe, I was told that you're vegetarian,
yes.
And which is why I made a vegetarian dish for you today.
Yes.
So, what's the story there?
The story is that I have a tendency to be a vegetarian. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's something that I was a vegetarian for a couple of years, for maybe 3 or 4 years. But I started to eat meat again on tour, to eat a little bit of everything. Of course, I try to balance, you know, my the way I eat. But I still have a good hope that I will go back to be a vegetarian, because it's extremely shocking how animals are treated. But I still, you know, eat meat because I'm on tour all the time. I was starting to be very weak, because what I would do is just take off the meat out of the food that would come to me, that I would find on my way, and it was not enough. I'm so not organized, and you need some sort of organization to be a vegetarian, to have the proper proteins and vitamins and stuff. So.
Yeah, well, I think you've come to the right country then to be vegetarian.
Exactly,
because,
yes.
Have you tasted any Indian food so far?
Yes, I'm trying my best to find food that is not spicy, and local people tell me this is absolutely not spicy, and I eat it and flames coming out of my mouth. So it's spicy here in India, but I knew it already, you know. And I like spicy food, but after 2 days of spicy breakfast, spicy lunch, and spicy dinner, I start to feel a little strange.
So you guys are kind of known to be a very earth-conscious band. You know, you write a lot about the problems that are there in our world today. And, what is it, a conscious decision? What's your philosophy on this?
Well, you know, we are we're musicians. We're a rock band. The thing we do is we create music. We capture this energy that we call Gojira, and we just throw it at people and just do whatever you want. Like, that's what we do. Then the message is, I don't want to say it's not important, because It is to us, but that's not the main thing, you know. And I like the fact that music in general is just a platform for people to put their own things and their own meaning. So I'm not doing politics, really, you know. It's music, and then my emotions go into my words, and my writing is very, very spontaneous. It was not a conscious decision to, okay, we're going to stand for this or that. Or just happened naturally, organically.
But do you hope somewhere that it does maybe, you know, influence your fans to think differently or to kind of take note of...
Yes, of course. I could even say that in a weird way, all these efforts since we started to play music are a giant prayer for a better world, you know what I mean? I think a lot of artists in general consider their art like this, even though they don't necessarily put these words on it, but I think art in general and knowledge is going the right way, you know? If you are honest with yourself, with your emotions, even if you don't explain everything, I think it's one step in the good direction for humanity in general.
Awesome. And I believe you also do some work for the environment. You're often related to something called Sea Shepherd.
Absolutely. But what we do is we just put a certain spotlight on them, right? We feel that with success comes responsibility, and when a lot of people are watching you and listening to you, you're not just going to look at yourself in the mirror to make sure your hair is right, right? There are more important things. And we really enjoy putting this spotlight on, hey, guys, check these guys out. So that's the only work we do, really. You know, we're not on the boats, we're not on the ocean fighting with these guys. We don't have the discipline and the courage that they have, but at least we talk about them a little bit, like right now, for example.
Yeah.
So please check these guys out, Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. They kick ass.
Awesome. We'll definitely do that. So you guys seem to have a little bit of a connection with India even before coming here. You even have a track called Yama's Messenger.
Yes, absolutely.
So how did you connect with India?
Well, we are, as a band, as individuals, we are fascinated by the different cultures of the world. And India is really striking, a striking, very old and very beautiful culture from my point of view, from my European point of view, right? So I have my own view on this. But it's extremely attractive, the philosophy and the way religion and traditions and culture and modern life come together as one. And it seems like, for example, in Europe, the tradition, the religion, the culture, everything is more separated, you know? It seems like in India and other countries also, it makes more sense, it's more united somehow, and also very intelligent. I find the sacred writings very, very interesting, and they make sense.
So I kind of remember you saying in one of your previous interviews, I think it was on YouTube possibly, that your bank balance was not very favorable. And so I just kind of wanted to ask, you know, how tough is it really, you know, being a musician and being a touring musician?
Very.
Okay.
You asked me how tough. It's very, very, very hard to make a living with music, even though I absolutely don't want to complain about my situation, because I do make a living with music. It's a struggle, but sometimes there's this fantasy, you know, people think that we have big cars and big houses. Come on, we're playing metal, you know? It's very rare, a metal band that has money. It's very rare, very rare.
Yeah, because I think a lot of young bands, including myself, thought that, you know, at least, I don't know about having lots of money, but at least, you know, a band like Gojira that is way up there touring regularly and playing big shows at least, is making a decent living off it, you know? So is there any advice that you have for younger bands that are kind of looking to music or metal to kind of make a living and think that, oh, maybe I'll be a Gojira one day and then I'll have kind of made it, you know?
Well, my only advice would be find your own way. Don't try to be like another band, even though sometimes it's inspiring and you can follow the track a little bit, but mostly be patient. Because we're still promoting our band, we're still going on the road and losing money, you know, and it is a tough life, and you gotta feel it in your whole body. You gotta have a sense of mission, you know. It's a mission to us what we're doing, and there's no way we're gonna give up, you know. And it's too important for us for some reason, you know. Maybe there's something we don't really grasp, and that's very important and pushing us. But if you want to make money, get a job, really.
So you also played with Cavalera Conspiracy,
yes,
for a while. I mean, how did you land that gig, and you know, what was it like playing with legends like Max?
I know it's a little surprising, you know, that I did that, because I'm not really a bass player. I love playing bass, of course, but when they decided to play together again, Igor and Max, after, I don't know, it was 11 years, I think, for 11 years they stayed away from each other. When they decided to get back together, they had a sort of meeting with their crew, their management, a record company, and they were wondering who's going to play bass. And someone suggested, you should hire someone from a rising band, you know, a young band, and bring some, you know, young energy in there. And they thought of Gojira, you know. When they contacted us, Jean-Michel, the bass player, was doing something else, completely something else. He really could not commit to that. And he was sorry, and I was sorry. I was like, dude, we cannot miss this opportunity. It's great. And so I finally said, I can play bass. I'm available. So they said, okay, come here. And I grabbed a bass, and I flew to Los Angeles. And here I am with Max and Igor jamming, you know, playing Sepultura songs. And we did this album very, very fast, very spontaneous. I didn't know if I could really be myself with these guys, because I respect them so much. But right away it worked between us, and it was great. Then I had to quit, because I really wanted to focus on Gojira, and their schedule was too demanding. Like, it was asking too much of my time. So I had to make a decision, and
it's always a tough one.
I told them, I'll do the album, but I cannot go on tour with you guys. It's impossible. So I did the first show in Phoenix, Arizona, with them, and it was a very intense moment. And I got to play Refuse Resist with them on stage.
Wow.
And Arise and Dead Embryonic Cells, and I cannot even describe it.
Dream come true, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So, moving away from music a little bit, let's talk a little bit about food.
Yes.
You're French, you know, I mean, French food is world famous. So, what's your favorite food?
You know, it's funny, because you say, for a Frenchman, blah, blah, blah. I realize that I'm French now that I travel all around the world, and I have a certain taste, you know, and a certain, you know, I like wine, good wine, you know. I just found out that, yes, I have an education, like, you know, but my favorite dish is pasta with olive oil and parmesan.
That's it.
That's it, man.
Keeping it simple.
Yes. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of red pepper, and that's it. I'm in heaven.
Awesome. Do you do any cooking yourself?
Yes, I do. I like to experiment. I like to cook for my family. I don't have any extraordinary, recipe, but I like simple things, and I like to improvise, you know.
But, like, what's your signature dish?
Oh, my God. When I was a kid, I used to cook this yogurt cake with pieces of chocolate.
Yeah.
But it's very good.
Yeah, it sounds very good. You'll have to make that for us sometime.
Yeah, okay, no problem.
Awesome, awesome. So apart from music, do you have any other hobbies?
Yes. It's funny, because I spend my whole life traveling with the band, and yet my hobby still is traveling. You know, when I go back home, I'm like, after 5 minutes, I'm like, I want to go somewhere. I'm fascinated by travels and meeting new people, new culture, new food, you know. I love that. I like sport. I like to, you know, to go for jogging and stuff on it. Because it's really hard when you're on tour to have a routine.
Yeah, the bus and the
venue. Yeah, and you get lazy, you get fat. When I'm at home, I like to, try to work out a little bit and take care of myself. But traveling is definitely, my big-time hobby.
Yeah. Awesome. And getting back to the music a little bit, Gojira has a very unique sound. Yeah. I mean, I know it's a strange question to ask, but how did you guys kind of get to this sound?
I don't know. It's in our minds, you know. We know exactly what we want to hear. And it's not about the quality of the gear or this amp or this amp or this guitar. Give us amps and guitars and drums, and we'll do the settings. You know, Mario has a very specific way to do the settings of the tones. They're very loose, you know, so it's kind of unusual, but it gives this very bright snapping sound on the tones, and at the same time there's like an infra bass happening at the same time, and on the guitars also we put very, very simple settings. When other guitar players maybe will try to put a lot of high end, a lot of low end, and you know, we try to keep it simple and raw with a lot of distortion, and that's it, man.
That's it. So no secret to the.
And everything else is you know.
It's in the fingers.
And how you play, and we hit the, we're pounding the strings. You know, we play hard. I think that's another aspect. But it's, you know, it's the guts, it's the body, it's the soul, everything at the same time talking through the instruments.
Yeah, so, you know, coming back to India,
topic
of conversation, you guys have some really crazy fans here. I think you might have met some of them also.
I noticed, yeah.
One of them has followed you across the world, actually. And I don't know if you've heard, more recently, a bunch of guys have got together and started the Gojira project. The Gojira YouTube project.
Oh, I heard about it.
So they're going to cover Gojira songs in, you know, in video.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you have anything to say to these fans? You know, I mean, because they all would love to hear from you and know that you're watching or whatever.
Well, I want to tell the fans something I already said before in interviews, but that's really the only thing I can tell them is that you guys are Gojira. You know what I mean? Like, Gojira is not just the four of us. It's the ears, you know, and the hearts, and all the people that listen to our bands, they are our band, you know. Without them, there's no Gojira, you know. And the fact that we play this music, I don't even have the feeling that we create the music, that we just make the effort to be together, to stay together, stick together, and then there's music happening. You know, and this music is shared and understood by so many people, and I'm part of this thing with them. You know, so I think this idea is great, man. I cannot wait to see all the different covers and stuff. We're just a big family. I mean, it sounds really cliche, but it's true.
Big happy heavy metal family.
Yeah.
So, what's next for Gojira? What's on the cards after this India show?
We're heading to the States for a month and a half. The States and Canada and North America. We're going to tour with Devin Townsend.
Wow.
Devin Townsend is opening for us. I know it's really surprising because he's a legend and we're big fans as well. And then after that, we're going to go back to Europe again. We just toured in Europe, but we have a lot of countries that we need to explore again. And more shows, you know, for 2 years, something like that.
Wow, awesome. Yeah. So catch Gojira on the road for sure.
Yeah, and I really hope we're going to come back to India because we love it, you know. And it's almost a little frustrating to play just one show and like, it's over already.
Yeah. All right, Joe, so it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show. And I hope you're ready to taste what I've created for you.
Yeah.
It's called the heaviest chole in the universe. Oh. And chole is basically chickpeas cooked in an onion and tomato gravy and
wow,
served with a nice
really good,
deep-fried bhatura, which is like an Indian flatbread kind of thing.
Good.
So we're going to go get the heaviest chole in the universe. All right, Joe, are you ready to taste the heaviest chole in the universe?
I'm ready.
So you eat this with your hands. So I'm going to show you how we eat this. So you break a piece off with your hand. And you just
grab it?
Yeah. And if that doesn't work, use the spoon.
Okay.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Pretty well. It's really good.
I made it a little less spicy because I know you don't like
it. Yeah, it's very acceptable for my
body. Because I can't handle spice too, so like I said.
Okay. Really good. It's really good. Excellent.
Awesome. So there you have it. Joe from Gojira says the heaviest chole bhature in the universe gets
it's
a thumbs
excellent.
Up.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the next episode of Headbangers Kitchen. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Yes.
Are you ready to taste what I have created for you?
I am completely ready.
Have you ever heard of chana masala?
It sounds familiar, just the second part there.
Okay.
Masala.
Masala is... Okay, let me do this again because it looks stupid.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.